Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Let the grace party begin once again for the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm the Cap. My name is Mike. His name is Joel, the Breeze Man, and we're glad you're with us for another edition. What program number is this, Joel? Where are we at here?
You think I keep count of these things on a weekly basis? Well,
it's the Growing in Grace podcast.
I can look it up real quick because I'm now that you got me. So we did. I think this is 1026. 1026.
Okay. Wow. All right. Yeah, that's a lot of talking.
Yeah, that's more talking than I ever imagined I would do in my entire life. But it's good. Mm-hmm. It's all been good. I've told people before, and this is, they have breaking news. Well, I have 20-year-old news here to share. ever since we've been doing this podcast, I'm not a talker. I'm not one who likes to talk. And I've shared that throughout the years. But when it comes to the stuff we chat about here, I'm all for it. And it's like I'm a different person when I do this. I know, of course, I'm the same person, and it's really Christ in me. But my normal daily, everyday self, I'm pretty quiet for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Quiet by nature.
Quiet by nature. That's how my wife remembers me. We met before we met. There was like a couple years before my wife and I met. I was with someone I was seeing at the time. We went to a party, and it was at this house. And turns out that it was my wife, obviously, long before we were married. But so then 2 years later, we were recounting this. And she said she remembers me as the quiet one in the corner drinking his beer. And that was how she remembered me. But the quiet, because I did. I just, I enjoy people, but I, unless there's something, some reason for me to get animated about something, I'm generally pretty quiet.
Well, it's great to be able to get together like this and communicate some things about the gospel of Jesus Christ that maybe a lot of people aren't familiar with, and they're longing for it. I mean, they just want to know that they're okay with God, that God really truly does love them, and in spite of ourselves sometimes, and the things that we do, and the things that we don't always do right. God's love never wanes, it never weakens, it never falters. And I didn't understand that myself for a long, long time. I mean, sometimes I would just walk out of church feeling like worse than when I went in. Sometimes I would walk out thinking, man, I haven't been this disappointed since I thought I was biting into banana pudding and it turned out to be lemon. And that's a bad feeling.
That's a bad feeling.
I've had that happen before. I've gone to back in the old days when there was more buffets around.
Yeah.
We'd go to a buffet and that looks like banana pudding. I'm sure it's banana. I'm going to get that. And then it's lemon.
Yeah, I did that at the hospital cafeteria years ago. I thought, they had lemon pie. And I thought it was banana. And so I grabbed some and I bought it. And I went to take a bite. Like, no, this is not banana.
I know. Oh. I know. That's what religion is like. Without Jesus.
Right on.
One of the great identifiers of the gospel is the righteousness of God. We've talked a lot about it over the years here on the podcast. And really a cornerstone, what we might call a cornerstone or a foundational passage along these lines is in Romans 1:16 and 17, where it explains the righteousness of God has been revealed in the gospel. Romans 1:16 and 17, if you want to go check that out sometime. Now, there's a lot that was said, there's a little bit said before that in the first part of Romans 1, and then Paul goes on to say a lot of things, and he'll connect a lot of dots several chapters later based on what he said early in the letter to the Romans. But a key foundational thing there is it's not about us as human beings trying to establish our righteousness before God, our right standing before him based upon our efforts, our doing, and so forth. It's something that has been gifted to us, as Paul said, apart from works, apart from any kind of law. That's the revealing of God's righteousness and how we come into this. And it's a big part of our identity in him, right? I mean, because going back to something we've used kind of ruthlessly here over the years, you go into most churches who claim the Bible as their source for their belief system. Go into a church and ask people to raise their hand if they think they are righteous. And very few hands will usually go up because it doesn't feel like a humble thing. It feels like we're bragging on ourselves or something like that. Well, if you're coming from a works perspective, it may look that way. But we are righteous. But it isn't because of what we do. It's not our righteousness. It's his in us. And again, it's apart from works. So the Jewish people, though, had been pursuing. So we have two doors here. Door number one is a law of righteousness. And that's what the Jews were pursuing throughout their lifetime under a stone tablet ministry of law, commands, and demands. They were out to try to establish righteousness with God based upon what they did. The Gentiles, non-Jewish people, most of the world, were not pursuing righteousness. They did not have the law. They did not have the commandments and the things that they were supposed to be doing like the Jews did. They weren't pursuing righteousness with God. I mean, they were without God. They had no covenant, unlike the Jews. And so we have door number one with the righteousness of the law, and then this other thing that came along after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the righteousness of faith. And Joel, there's a lot of different ways we can go with this. I want to get you in here so that we can try to figure out how to tackle this and pursue it. But I just want to point out those two things are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. And it's important for us to understand this because it's a big part of understanding who we are in him instead of who we're trying to become based upon what we do.
Yeah, and that's really the cornerstone of the gospel. Like you were saying, it's really what the gospel, the good news, is based upon. It's righteousness by faith, or the righteousness of faith, and not righteousness by works. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. The boasting, so if we were to say, I'm righteous, you know, people, I think, are afraid to say that because they sound like they're boasting. But really, if you stand before God and say, I'm righteous, you're boasting in him. You're not boasting in yourself or in your work. So you can stand before God and in front of other people, and you're not boasting in yourself. You're boasting in the finished work of Christ. You're boasting in the cross. You're boasting in Christ because this is something that has come to you, this gift of God's righteousness. It's something that has come to you by faith and not by what you've done. You were talking about how under the law, the Jews, the people of Israel, were pursuing righteousness. They were trying to be righteous through the law. If you look at the end of so you were talking about Romans 1, you know, and that really, you know, Paul really is setting a foundation there for a lot of what he's going to share throughout the rest of that epistle to the Romans. And in Romans 9, he talks about the people of Israel. They were pursuing righteousness, but they didn't attain it. And why did they not attain it? Well, first, he says in Romans 9:30, what shall we say then? That Gentiles, so non-Jewish people, they had no law. Let me look at Ephesians real quick before I go back to that. Ephesians 2, Paul says, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, at that time you were without Christ, you were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That was the state of Gentiles. And so, if you keep that in mind about the Gentiles, Romans 9:30, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. So again, Gentiles, no hope, without God in the world, not pursuing righteousness, they have attained to righteousness. Just think about that. They weren't even looking for it. And they were without God. They were far off, Paul says in Ephesians there as well. And yet they've been brought near by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Christ. But he contrasts this with Israel in Romans 9:31, the next verse. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, they were trying to be righteous by the law, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. And he goes on from there, but and there's more that we can bring up there, but the point was that they were pursuing righteousness, and they did not attain it because they were trying to be righteous by the works of the law. And you cannot be righteous by the works of the law unless you do the whole law completely and fully and you live by it. If you make that your goal, you've got to live by it completely and 100%. But they didn't. As Hebrews reminds us, that covenant, which was a covenant of law, the reason why a new covenant was needed was because God found fault with the people. God found fault with them. What was the fault? Is that they didn't. Even though they were pursuing righteousness by the law, they fell short. They were not righteous by what they did. They didn't keep the law. But then again, contrasting that with the Gentiles, not even pursuing righteousness, they've attained to it. Why? Because they attained it by faith and not by pursuing being good, not by pursuing righteousness.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. I mean, even earlier in Romans, Paul was, and this is the importance of not just memorizing Bible verses, because sometimes we talk about righteousness in the way that we are now, and somebody might pop up because they memorized the Romans Road or something, and they say, well, wait a minute. Paul quoted, in Romans 3:10, as it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Well, Paul, of course, was quoting something from the Old Covenant pages, and he's making his point that under law there was none righteous based upon what they did. But then he would go on, if you keep reading, he'll explain there's something new that came, something new that took the place of that. For by the works of the law, Romans 3:20, no flesh or no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, and this hinges off of what he said in Romans 1:16 and 17, now the righteousness of God has been revealed or manifested apart from the law, apart from a ministry of works, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There's no difference. There's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And so goes on to talk about the blood of Jesus there after that. And so it's just so important for us to understand not just the Bible verses and the quotes and the talking points, but how this gospel all comes together. And again, the foundation of it is people, human beings, the Jews in particular, specifically when it comes to trying to keep a law of righteousness or a law of works, they couldn't do it. No human being could. Everyone fell short of reaching a standard that would bring God's righteousness, his acceptance, being right before God and standing holy before him. Everybody is going to fall short of that. That includes Jews and Gentiles, of course, But then, as you talked about, Joel, Paul got around to it. I mean, this Romans thing, it's like a thread. Here I am in Romans 1 and 3, and you're up there in 9 and 10, and there's a bunch of stuff in between here that is interconnected as he is explaining this and reaching one new revelation after the other along the way. And one of those things was the Jews who pursued righteousness did not attain it through their works. Non-Jewish people, Gentiles who had no covenant, who were without God, who were without hope in the world, weren't pursuing it. They attained it. That does that make any sense to anybody? mean, you're pursuing righteousness. You're trying to do the law. And I think in the minds of many Jews, they thought they were doing the law. You know, Paul, we hit on this recently, but Paul, his testimony wasn't that I used to be a good law doer. He did try to make the case that if anybody could declare themselves a doer of the law, I would compete pretty well with that. I'm putting words in his mouth, obviously. But that's not what, that wasn't Paul's testimony, that I used to be a good law doer. And now I'm just continuing to be a good law doer? No, that wasn't his testimony at all. It was these people who were trying to do it, who thought they were probably doing it pretty well. They knew it wasn't perfect, hence the animal sacrifices and all of that shed blood that couldn't take away sins or make them righteous or give them life. But they still thought that they were, you know, if God was grading on a curve, they'd probably make the cut. And that wasn't the case. So this thing is a gift. It's God in you. It's because of what God did in establishing this covenant, Father and Son. And we just get to rest in it and enjoy it. And that includes ongoing fellowship with him, because the blood of Jesus and the power contained within that blood has taken away sins once for all. It's an eternal redemption that isn't going to falter or fade. It is locked in for all time.
Yeah, and just wrapping it up, that's one thing that those who were pursuing the law, they could never rest because they never attained to it. And that's the difference between trying to pursue righteousness by your works and attaining to righteousness simply by faith, by God's gift. When you receive it by faith as God's gift, then you know it's done. It's settled. It's forever. There's nothing that you can do. You can rest because you've received something that you didn't even work for. Like you said, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Grace really doesn't make sense. Grace isn't fair, if I could put it that way. You know, pursuing the law and trying to be righteous by the law, that would seem like the fair way to do things, but nobody can do it. That was a problem. And so God did what wasn't fair. He gave us a gift that we couldn't earn, you know, because if you can earn something, then yes, you receive the wages of what you've done. And then it's, quote, fair. But he did something that wasn't fair. He gave us something that we could never attain on our own. And he gave it to us because he loves us and because of what Christ has done, not because of anything that we've done. And we can rest in that forever.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.